the closing moments of our meeting tonight, can I just simply, first of all, say thank you for coming and joining with us in this time of family worship and this time of praising the Lord as we remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the greatest birth in the history of man was indeed the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that every birth is a marvelous thing. Every birth, in many ways, indeed, is a miracle. But there never, since the world began, was there a birth so wonderful as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't begin at Bethlehem. He was God of very God. There's a little verse in the Old Testament that says these words. It said, "Unto us, yes, a child is born, and unto us a son is given." And you notice the way that the Scripture says, a child is born and a son is given. And the reason for that is very, very simple, and yet it's very powerful. And it gives us the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because indeed at Bethlehem there was a child born. There was a child that was born unto Mary. And she was a virgin. She was one whom the Holy Ghost came upon. And she conceived. And that which was in her womb was indeed of the Holy Ghost and was indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And yet the Bible says that a child was born, but it doesn't say a son was born. It says a son was given. And the reason for that is very simple. Because he was already son. He was already the Son of God. And he became the Son of Man. He was God of very God. And so we find that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice the words, he gave his only begotten Son. And of course his Son was given. The child was born at Bethlehem. And so whilst it's true that every birth is a miraculous thing, and every birth is a marvelous event, there was no birth like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also true that when a child is born, that it brings great joy to a family. And what joy it is whenever the mum or dad looks into the face of the little child for the first time, and they rejoice in the fact that God has given them a heritage to look after. And God has given them a little child right from himself because it is a miracle of the grace and the goodness of the Lord. Because children, the Bible says, is a heritage of the Lord. And yet, my friend, you'll notice that there is no joy like the joy at the birth of Christ. Because indeed the very center of the message that the angels delivered, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now remember, whenever a child is born into a family, there is great joy to that particular home, that particular family, or perhaps that particular family circle. But you notice what the Word of God says, that this great joy which shall be to all people. In other words, it is not just for a few. It's not just for a family. Praise God, it's for the whole world. Because it says that it's I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. And as we gather in God's house tonight, it is true that the birth of a child is a tremendous celebration. And it's tremendous indeed whenever the family celebrate the fact that their little one has been given of God and their little one has been born. And yet there's never been a celebration like the celebration of the birth of Christ. Because in actual fact, every year millions of people across this world, out of every land, people, kindred and tongue, and friend, they remember the birth of this Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are people in darkest Africa tonight that their eyes have been opened and they behold the beauty of Christ and they're thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world and they're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus. And whilst it's true that many in this so-called civilized society are trying to stamp out the memory of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to stop people even mentioning his name, yet glory to God, we gather tonight to remember his birth. And we come to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's lovely Son. And even our very calendar
year by year, it witnesses the fact of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the closing moments that we have tonight, I want us to think of just a few simple things. Now, first of all, the advent of the Savior, or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, there's still a great event to come, and that is the second advent, or the second coming of the Lord Jesus. My, what a day that's going to be, because the Bible says concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus, this is what the Holy Ghost records, and every eye shall see Him. Every eye shall see Him. My, what a day. And even those of the world that have rejected Him, and many shall wail because of Him. Have you ever thought of that? When Jesus Christ comes again, that every eye shall see Him. Every eye turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet His first coming, the first advent of Christ, we think of the words that John wrote, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Of course, for many, to as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Thinking of the coming of Christ, thinking of the advent of the Savior. Notice in chapter 2 that Cecil read to us, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Here is the mighty Caesar Augustus. And as far as he was concerned, and as far as the world in that day was concerned, he was the most powerful man in all the world. And you imagine the pride that was in his heart. You can imagine the arrogance that was in his soul. Whenever he delivered his decree, because it said this, there went out from Caesar Augustus a decree. Here was a command that all the world should be taxed. You can imagine just how proud he was that the world would listen to him. The world would obey him. And yet the amazing thing was this, friend. Rather than the world obeying him, he was obeying God. Because in actual fact, what we find in this story, once the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, that over and above the decree of man, friend, there was the sovereign decree of God. You know what God had decreed? God had decreed that His Son would come into this world, and in a little place called Bethlehem, His child would be born. Now, of course, Mary was nowhere near Bethlehem. She wasn't close to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph, yes, they were espoused together, and my, they had made the promise, the one to the other, and that they would bind their lives together. And yet we find that here at this particular time, Mary and Joseph were nowhere near the place where God had decreed that Jesus Christ would be born. So how would it happen, friend? Would what God had prophesied in the Old Testament, our brother Alfie read tonight in the book of Micah, and as we are reading the scriptures, how that Bethlehem Ephrathah, that little despised place that my wasn't even great in the tribes of Israel. That's where God said that His child would be born. Now, He didn't say in Jerusalem. That would have been the place where the king would be born, wouldn't it? Because it was the place, the capital city. Where would you have a child? Where would you have the king born? But in the capital. But it wasn't Jerusalem. My friend, it wasn't in any place but a little insignificant place. But God had decreed it. And friend, when God had decreed it, that's exactly what would happen. And so we find that whilst Mary and Joseph, they were there in Nazareth, down there in Galilee, up north rather. They were up north, but Bethlehem was down south. And so therefore they weren't close. Was God going to make a mistake? Somehow what God had prophesied through His prophets in the Old Testament, would it not be fulfilled as God had said it? Oh, my friend. It would be fulfilled exactly as God had said it. How would it happen? Caesar Augustus made a decree. Do you know what he decreed? That all the world would be taxed. But in their taxing, the only place they could register for their tax was at home. Now, Mary and Joseph weren't at home. That wasn't where they were from. Nazareth wasn't the place where they were from. And their family connections might was back there in Bethlehem. Where? Wasn't that the place that God had prophesied? And so here's mighty Caesar. Caesar Augustus, he's sitting there, and the world's falling at his feet, and he says, listen, I'm in control. I make a decree. Let me tell you, my friend, the amazing thing was this. That God gave Caesar Augustus a supporting role in the greatest episode and greatest event that would ever take place. And God allowed him to be a little part of the history. Would you see? Caesar Augustus was fulfilling the decree of God. I'm glad tonight that God's in control of this old world. I'm glad, let me tell you, that Tony Blair and those that met out there in the European Union, they're not decreeing having been in control, my friend. But you know what they're doing? What they're doing, friend, is just simply fulfilling what God has already prophesied would happen in the last days before the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Caesar Augustus, he decreed, fulfilling what God had prophesied concerning the first advent of Jesus Christ. My Lord's in control tonight. Thank God he reigns. That's why we sing the wee chorus, God is still on the throne, and so he is tonight. And he can use even the wrath of man to praise him. And that's why the psalmist says, why do the kingdoms rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That is, if they are in control. And God's sitting in the heavens. You know what the Bible says? And God laughs. Because God's in control of it all. He's the God of history, friend. And the wonderful thing about our God is this. That God was the one who started the clock of time. And God is the one who will send the angel forth to say that time shall no longer be. And God will usher all of mankind into eternity. And the prophet said, prepare to meet thy God. There's the advent of the Savior. Secondly, the appearance of the shepherd to the shepherds. And when you ever think about it, here's shepherds out in the field and they're looking after their sheep. I've often said it. Friends, let me tell you, shepherds were not esteemed as being very much. In actual fact, keeping of sheep was not an esteemed profession or an esteemed occupation. The attitude in Israel at that time was similar to the attitude in Joseph's time way back in the Old Testament, in the land of Egypt. And yet it's amazing how that God uses the nobodies. That's a great encouragement to you and me. A brother came to me after the service this morning and he was thrilled that God just took, in the days of Moses, God took a thorny shrub, not a mighty oak. God took the nobodies, the nothings. And yet God's presence was in that old thorny shrub. Think of the majestic God, friend. A mighty oak. Wouldn't you think that would be where it would be? No, says God. Then let me tell you, the nobodies of this world, the shepherds. Moses was a shepherd 40 years in the backside of the desert. David, he became the first king, or the greatest king of Israel. And David was a shepherd in the fields near Bethlehem. Amos the prophet, what was his occupation? He was a shepherd. And then the Lord Jesus came into this world, and what did he say? He says, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life to the sheep. You see those flocks? That's an interesting thing. I've got to take this very quickly because I'm not going to detain you. We want to have our fellowship and supper together. But God's word is so important. Let me tell you, the Talmud reports that sheep used in the sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. Do you know where they were kept? In the hillsides near Bethlehem. In actual fact, it is said that the sheep that those shepherds were watching over were the sheep that were being prepared for the sacrifice in the temple at Jerusalem. And that's an amazing thought, because isn't it fitting that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to give his life for the sheep, he would die and shed his precious blood. And he came into this world headed for sacrifice at that old hill called Calvary. And remember what he was a foreshadowing of. Remember what John said. Listen, behold, look. There's the Lamb of God. There's the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And these shepherds were standing out in the field. Notice their faithfulness. They were just standing in the field, but they were keeping watch over. They were abiding. They were camping out there. They were lodging. It was a continuous action. They were watching, keeping watch over their flocks. They stayed on the job. Diligent duty, earnest, fervent in labor, simply doing the job, even in the night time. You know, that reminds me, there weren't sunshine shepherds. They were keeping watch over their flock by night. Even in the days of danger, in the days of darkness. They were just faithful, just continuing on, faithful. Oh, brethren and sisters tonight that love the Lord Jesus, be faithful. Be steadfast. Keep at the job, brother. Keep at the job, sister. It might be dark. There may be a dark night outside, but let me tell you, keep on the job. We chorus says, keep on the firing line, brother. Keep on the firing line. And there they were. And what were they doing, friend? Just keeping faithful. And that's what God wants you to do, friend. God wants you to be faithful. Keep faithful, brother, no matter who's falling around you, no matter who despises you, no matter who wants to persecute you, no matter who wants to knock you down. Keep faithful. Keep faithful to Christ. Keep right on to the end of the road. And there they were, just keeping watch over their flocks, in the fields, in faithfulness. And then here's the favor. The Bible tells us that when they were in the fields that night, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. There's the favor. And God revealed the news, first of all, to those lowly shepherds in the field. Listen, God didn't send a delegation to Caesar that his son was born. No, he wasn't interested in sending that delegation to Caesar. He didn't send them the news to Herod the king. He didn't send it to the high priest. He didn't send it to the elders or to the scribes. Not even to those religious Pharisees. Listen, friend, he sent it to the lowly shepherds. I was thinking about that. And friend, let me tell you, it doesn't matter how obscure you are, it doesn't matter how little you are in the work of God. Listen, little's much when God's in it. And God can take the nobodies and make them somebody to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan. And isn't it lovely? God reveals to babes and sucklings. And as God reveals and God ordains to give them strength. I was just thinking, Moses was at the sheep when God called him. Gideon, he was at the threshing floor when God called him. Elisha, he was at the plow.
And God called him. And friend, God's calling you. He's calling you tonight. What a lovely thing when God visits you personally to speak to you, just as these shepherds were visited. And the appearance to the shepherds, oh, the favor of God. Why did God choose them? Because God willed to choose them. I stand in amazement tonight. Why did God set his love upon me? I have to tell you, there was nothing in me that God should set his love upon me and choose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. But this I know, I am so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. And friend, there's nothing in you either. For at best, remember this fact, no matter who you are tonight, at best you're only a sinner. And thank God for those who can say, only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. There's the favor of God. But then there came the fear. And the Bible says when God visited them that night, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, it says, and they were sore afraid. Now remember who these men were. These were brave shepherds. These were men that faced the lions and the dangers of the night. They were keeping watch over their flock. And whenever an angry animal came to destroy the flock or destroy the little lamb, they went in there. My, they were brave men. And yet the Bible says they were sore afraid. They were absolutely taken with fear. Why, friend? What would make them so afraid? You see, there was a belief, especially among the Jews, that the visible sight of the supernatural would doom them to death. That they would die. And here they saw the angel of the Lord appeared. And they were struck with fear. Would they die? No, friend. It wasn't a message of death. Praise God, it was a message of life. And the glory of the Lord. Listen, it says the glory of the Lord shone round about them. What was this, the glory of the Lord? It's the Shekinah glory. The glory of the Lord, the visible token of the presence of God coming in the midst of the darkness of the night. What a wonderful, wonderful moment. Remember, the light shone upon Saul of Tarsus on that road so many years ago. And you see, when the Lord Jesus come, he'll come in the brightness of his glory. There's the announcement from the sovereign. And with us, I close. You know, God knew their hearts. God knew their fear was real, friend. They were struck with fear. Did you know what God said? He says, fear not. Remember the psalmist said, the Lord is good to Israel. Isn't God so good, friend? He comes with a word right in season. He knew what they needed. He knew what they were feeling. Remember John chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Why did he say that? Because he knew their hearts were troubled. You know what he was doing? He was meeting them at the very point of their need. Now, God's looking into your heart tonight, and let me tell you, he's come to this meeting tonight, and he wants to meet you at the point of your need. And these people were so afraid. The Bible says, so afraid. And the first thing that the lovely Lord said, don't be afraid. Fear not. You know, sometimes people can say these things to you, you know, if your heart's grieving. They put their hand upon your shoulder and they intend well and say, listen, come on, drop your tears. Don't be grieving. And then, at times, you just feel as if they're nearly mocking you. Or maybe you're distraught and you're worried about something. They say, come on, shake yourself. Don't worry. Friend, deep in your heart, you know that those words are empty. But there's nothing empty about the Lord when He said, fear not. Because with that command, friend, there came a comfort. He says, for behold, this is why you don't need to be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Friend, listen. Here's a confirmation of what they said. Listen. They saw the child, they saw the clothes, and they saw the crib. It says, and this shall be the sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe, there's a child, wrapped in swaddling clothes, there's the clothes, lying in a manger, there's the crib. The Lord says, let me tell you, you don't need to be afraid. And I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you a promise. And you notice the shepherds, they left the fields and they said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this sight. And they came, friend. And when they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and they found the babe lying in the manger. And praise God, God had answered their fears. Time's away. It was a glad message. Because He's the source of true joy. Joy. And then it was a global message, because which shall be to all people. And then, thank God, it's a golden message, because unto us. You see, whilst it's for everyone, friend, who will believe, it is for us. That's personal for you and to me. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But He came to seek and to save you and me that are lost. And praise God tonight. He can save you. He can save you. He can cleanse you from your sin. He can give you peace within. He can calm the storms. He can break the chains that bind you. He can set you gloriously and wonderfully free. He can give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Who can do it? His name is Jesus. What a lovely name. For He shall save His people from their sin. Let me ask you a question. Will you let the Lord Jesus save you from your sin tonight? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and he said, open that door, he says, I will come in. He says, I will come in. He says, I will. I will. Amen. But there was no room for them in the inn. I asked you again, friend. Is there room in your heart for Jesus tonight? Will you receive Him? And make the Lord Jesus not only the center of Christmas, but the center of your heart and life. May God give you grace to receive Him now, for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless Your Word, and thank You for Your Word and Your presence, and thank You for the food that will be partaken of in a few moments. And Lord, we pray that You'll bless us together, but most of all, bring each one to the Savior. Let not one leave tonight without receiving Christ. Room for Jesus, King of glory. At His feet, we humbly fall. Crown Him. Crown Him. Lord of all.
It's our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend.
Why didn't you crown him Lord of your life tonight? Why didn't you receive him? Why didn't you ask him
to make this Christmas different than any others, to make your future different, to make your destiny and eternity different? By receiving Christ, and in receiving him, receive life eternal. Lord Jesus, I take my place as a sinner. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, worthy of separation from thee for all eternity. And yet, Lord Jesus, you came to seek and to save me. Tonight, by faith, I open my heart to thee. Lord Jesus, come in. Cleanse me from my sin in your precious blood. Lord Jesus, I rest my soul this night upon the finished work of your cross. Be my Savior now. I ask it in your lovely name. Amen. We're here tonight. And if there's an anxious soul, please, if you've prayed that prayer, please let us know. Or if you're anxious to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then please, I beg you in God's name, do not go away without him. Let the Lord Jesus be the center of your life.